Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Un balón muy abierto. Bellingham remata. Y gol, 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 gol de Jude Bellingham. Marcó Jude, marcó Bellingham, marcó el inglés.
Hello everyone and welcome to La Liga Lowdown. It's another season of what we think is the best league in the world. We're still on Twitter, but our main focus this season is going to be our Substack platform, where you'll be able to find the best of our content, both in the podcasts and with our articles from our writing team. We'd love it if you could subscribe to our Substack, llonline.substack.com, where you'll have access to fantastic content, audio and written. We'll still have a free podcast every week, as well as a free article, but we're asking you to please consider upgrading your subscription, where you'll have access to an extra podcast each week, plus more articles in that week as well. All for the cost of less than a pint a month. We think it's great value, and we hope that you do too. So enjoy this pod. And we hope you subscribe and upgrade. Thank you.
Esto es otra vergüenza para mí. Tiempo efectivo ya y se acaba con todo esto. Ya lo he dicho miles de veces. Tiempo efectivo en el fútbol. Estamos haciendo el ridículo.
Well, Paco, what an opening weekend that was. We've just come off the back of Etafe Barcelona with 25 added minutes across the two halves. We're almost an hour late starting this podcast, but do you know what? We don't care. It's match day one. It's great. I hope you had a good summer, Paco, but we haven't got much time to talk about that because we want to talk about Bordalas and the way that he's just turned back to peak Pepe Bordalas. Barca fell right into the trap there, 0-0. Four games in a row they haven't scored at the Colosseum. Four seasons in a row they haven't scored at the Colosseum. Yeah, if this is not football champagne, I don't know what is.
Yeah, Borda Ninjas are back. You could say that after this summer with Pepe Bordalas trying to, you know, mold the team back into what he did back in the day when he was in charge in Getafe for many, many seasons. After his brief stint in Valencia, he tried, you know, building brick by brick once again that kind of tough, no-nonsense side, and boy did we see something that truly resembled what he wanted, because Getafe just drove the game straight into the mud since the beginning. Once again, I'm going to say the word shithousery is one of the, you know, identity traits of Bordalas in wherever he goes, and once he's back to Getafe, he was able to just you know, turn absolutely crazy every single member of the opposition. He managed to get Xavi sent off in the second half for complaining. Gabi was flirting with the two yellows at the end of the game. In the first half, Rafinha was sent off for I believe an elbow over one of Getafe's players. And yep, Getafe was one man down too, with Jaime Mata being sent off for two yellows. Remember, Jaime Mata is a striker, and the striker is the first one pressing over on the opposite side of the pitch, and he saw two yellows, the second one over a harsh foul over Araujo. So overall, many things happened. Not many of them were, you know, like beautiful football examples, But ultimately, Getafe got what they wanted, you know, to start without a defeat at home against Barca, who are the current champions. Whereas for, you know, Barca, I think that they have many things to think about after their not especially awesome debut. I wasn't really keen on Gundogan's game. I think that he's still trying to find his footing. And I also think that Xavi and his staff were a bit too late in, you know, making Gabi to coming from the bench. I think that Gabi, these kind of games are those where Gabi tends to thrive. And I think that he should have started the game, first of all. And he should have been in maybe in the 46th minute. I don't know. But I think that as Barca were one man down, I tried different things and it didn't work. So ultimately, the best sum up, as you said, is over 25 minutes of additional time between the first and the second half. And yeah, we're going to see quite a few examples of that this season in La Liga. If you want, we can explain that later with the new changes in the rules. And overall, the best you know, the best headline is that ultimately Getafe were the ones to have the last chance of the game. Choco Lozano with a header. He didn't really drive it home, but imagine if Getafe had scored that one in the 105th minute, people would turn absolutely mad with mad scenes over in the Coliseum.
Yeah, and this came after the long check for the VAR for the possible penalty for Barca. Yeah. When Araujo the bottom of his foot appeared to be kicked.
A clear penalty, absolutely. Well, but the referee was just trying to pinpoint what was off in that play. And ultimately, it seemed that Gabi had taken the ball with his arm. And that's what the referee finally called. But it was a very, very clear pen over Araujo. And it was the 99th minute. So, yeah, drama scenes, as always, whenever a Bordalas team are playing on the line.
Yeah, pretty dubious finish there. But let's have a chat about Barca then. We've got, as you said, some interesting selections and substitutions from Xavi. I think I saw many Barca fans comment during the game. I think Kev Williams as well, saying that it's no good playing inside when you're up against a brick wall. You have to, you know, get width.
Open, yet, yeah.
Yeah, and yet Pedri started wide as opposed to someone like an Ansu or a Ferran or even a Yamal. And again, the interesting choice of substitutions. The youngsters came on ahead of the likes of Ansu and Ferran. So what do you think that says about the way that Xavi sees his squad as we head forward? We know they could only register the signings yesterday or Saturday. And we know that they had to do another palanca, lever. And I saw one article in Spain. I think it was in El País. I might be wrong, so apologies there. But they said they're not levers, they're life jackets. And that's I thought it was an interesting way of describing the situation because it's still a problem for Barca, isn't it?
Yes, obviously, because if you can't subscribe your own players when you do have them in your squad and you are paying their salaries, what's the point of it, you know? And as you said, I think that Xavi, picking Lamine Yamal, who had a great game in the Trofeo Gamper a few days ago, and also Abde before other usual names, as you said, Ferran Torres, for example, or even Sergi Roberto, who didn't have minutes and is the captain of the team, you know, speaks volumes about the trust that Xavi has for the youngsters, and also that players like Ferran, even after scoring a couple of goals during the preseason, are going to have it very, very tough to have quality minutes in this Barca this year, because they had their chance last year. They didn't seduce Xavi as much as they should. And in elite football, whenever you lose the pace or the pacing of your own squad and you, fall back in relation to other players, that can be a problem. And Ferran was one of the names during the summer who was talked about for a potential move or a potential transfer. Ultimately, he's going to stay. And he will have to fight tooth and nail if he really wants to have that those chances. Because Lamine Yamal, once again, he played and he did well. You know, those minutes at the end of the game, I think he has plenty of promise within him. And even the comparisons are being quite to exaggerate in my taste in these first couple of months. I think that he can be a very, very interesting player for Barca in the near future.
Mm. Well, the positive for Barca, if you want to take the optimistic view, is that last season they started with a goalless draw.
Yeah.
That was against Rayo at Camp Nou. and they won the league. So there you go, Barca fans, something to take from the game. Let's go back to Friday night now, where the season started, and it kicked off in Andalusia with a double header. Almeria beat by Rayo Vallecano. The follicly challenged fan favourite Issy Palathon made it look pretty easy from the penalty spot, giving them the lead, the first goal of the season. And then Randy Inteca doubled it in the first half with another penalty. Both maybe fairly harsh, but Almeria were unable to recover in the second half. And then, Paco, you were very happy with the second game because on paper, a very tough fixture for Valencia away at Sevilla. But they took the lead, pegged back, but then a late winner from Javi Guerra. And it just shows that, you know, despite the pessimism, they've kind of started off where they left off with the Cantera really delivering for Ruben Baraja.
Yeah, regarding Almeria Rayo, I think that those two penalties were freebies for the away side, because they were very, as you said, very harsh penalties. The first one after a very harsh foul over Enteca inside the box, and the second one a handball. And as you said, Issy and Teca weren't going to, you know, give away the giveaway and the gift. I had plenty of hopes for Almeria in this debut game for them this season. I think that they have made very, very smart signings overall. But that two-goal disadvantage was too much. I think that we need to give merit to Dimitrievski under the sticks for Rayo, because he had a massive game. He was absolutely on point in every single save. And even though Ramazzani was one of the highlights, Luis Suarez was off mark in a couple of massive chances for him, which he wasn't able to send to the back of the net. Overall, I think Almeria will improve because, as I said, they have been one of the best teams this summer when it comes down to signings and transfers. But yeah, absolutely deserved the win for Rayo Vallecano, who at first in their first game seemed that aren't really missing that much Iraola, who left for the Premier League a couple of months ago, and this new stage in their history. The management remains the same. Martin Presa remains the president. Many things are done wrong in a number of areas. We absolutely understand that, and we also say that from time to time. But if you focus only on football, their first game was outstanding, and they couldn't ask for more. And regarding Valencia's game, I think that it was an awful game by Sevilla, through and through. Valencia, as you said, surprised everyone with that trust and confidence that they have in youth academy players. Very smart pressing all around the pitch, especially high pressing in the first 20-30 minutes. Diakabi was massive. He had a great game playing as a defensive midfielder. You know, plenty of comparisons with Patrick Vieira, obviously with that cheeky meme-like content. And also Momo Sissoko, who back in the day was that kind of, you know, defensive midfielder who was able to set foot in and go box to box and score, because Diakabi was the scorer in the first half. And as you said, once again, Javi Guerra was the clutch player, as he did back in the day against Valladolid last season. If I was a Sevilla fan, I would be pretty worried about their game against Manchester City, because if they play the way they did against Valencia, they might get a very rude spanking in a couple of days. So they need to wake up. And overall, I think that Mendilibar wasn't really happy with the way his team played. About Valencia, we have been grown used to Valencia starting well every single season. I believe that in the last 4 years, they have always won their opening game. But as you might recognize, and I'm going to go back to my own, you know, predictions, the way this squad has been built this summer, with no signings whatsoever, 7 players leaving, only Pepelu from Levante has been the single signing, as well as Cenk Oczakar. I think that Valencia are bound for suffering this year if Peter Lim remains as the largest owner, shareholder owner of the club, because he isn't going to sign anyone except some players leave before August 31st. And those are the small number of tools that Baraja has in his toolbox. So he's going to have to do with what he has. And as for now, at least we have 3 more points in our bag.
Indeed, yes. Looks like another season that could be you know, potentially disrupted, and Baraka will be probably surprised if he lasts the course. But what I will say, what I enjoyed the orange kit. I love that kit in the Andalusian skyline of Javi Guerra jumping with joy with that late winner. Well, that'll be it for the first part, but join us after the break where we'll talk all about Real Madrid's debut as well as the other games in La Liga. Stay with us.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown. It's our match day one recap. We're back for the new season. Real Madrid have had a tough week off the pitch with the severe injury to Thibaut Courtois and the news that he's done his ACL and will be out for pretty much the whole season, throwing their plans into disarray. But on the pitch, it was a pretty good start. 2-0 at San Mamés. The midfield looked phenomenal with Tchouaméni, Valverde, Camavinga and Jude Bellingham on debut. People were, let's just say, Zidane was featuring a lot in the comments with Bellingham's name alongside him. It was a fantastic debut, wasn't it?
Yes, I think that the best way to just shake off any sign of doubts after having, as you said, such a tough week as Real Madrid had with those two long-term injuries, losing potentially their best player, which is at this point Courtois, who was crucial in many Champions League conquers and La Liga conquers in past seasons, losing the keeper and also losing Militao the opening minutes of this game with two torn ACLs is tragedy. You know, it's disastrous news for Ancelotti and for Real Madrid. But if you leave that aside and you only play focus on the game, it was, you know, the old plain Real Madrid as we used to know it. Bellingham, as you said, has slotted right into a very energetic midfield with those subs, Toni Kroos and also Luka Modric waiting their chance on the bench, because at this point the youngsters are the ones in charge, and as you said, Camavinga, Valverde and Bellingham with that. I think it was a bit lucky, the goal that he scored, because his final strike wasn't as clean as possible. The ball bounced before the keeper and it went over him straight into the angle. Also, Athletic club fans weren't very keen on his celebration, a bit of controversy over there, especially in social media. But overall, Rodrigo took advantage of a loose ball minutes before to score the opening one. And overall, Real Madrid just controlled the game and had plenty of chances in the second half to even score the third one. So it was just plain bread and butter for Ancelotti's Real Madrid. We're going to see, I believe, many games similar to this one quite a few times this season, as we have done it in past seasons, because it seems that Real Madrid are able to just press the, you know, put the game into high gear whenever they want. They score a couple of goals and then suddenly the game goes into a peaceful quietness, relaxed mood overall, because they really don't want to, as they know that they're going to play maybe 50-55 games this season, they don't really want to kick things into high gear during the whole 90 minutes. They are going to need that in a couple of single games against, you know, Atletico, Barça, maybe, you know, in a tough away game against Sevilla, or in La Cerámica against Betis, whatever, and especially in Champions League. But in La Liga, most of their games, as I said, plain bread and butter, and this debut was almost perfect for Real Madrid, if you leave aside, obviously, Militao's injury, which is awful news for them.
Yeah, indeed. And also a word on Fran Garcia. He looked a little bit shaky at first, a little bit sloppy in possession, but then he became more and more involved in the game and looked to settle down. You will have all have seen the photo that you talked about, the celebration where Bellingham, with his arms out in front of the Athletic fans. That is his trademark celebration, to be fair.
But, very like Cristiano-esque. I wasn't really familiar with Bellingham's... Well, I did see him a couple of times when he scored with England, but, you know, back in the day, I didn't watch many games in the Bundesliga. But, it was very... It reminded me of some of Cristiano's trademark celebrations, and maybe because we are in the hot summer and Athletic club fans weren't very familiar with that, but they didn't took it very well.
No, and Athletic no tiene gol.
Yeah, that's you know, the usual song coming from Athletic Club, because in other seasons, you know, it's very weird, because Asier Villalibre was huge for Alavés last season in loan. And Villalibre, Iñaki Williams, Nico Williams. But since Aritz Aduriz left Athletic Club, they haven't really had a reliable number nine. And everyone knows Aritz Aduriz was very old back in the day when he played for Athletic in the last stretch of his career. But that problem is going to be, I believe, chronicle for Athletic Club, because as long as no pure... reliable number nine comes up from the, you know, moves up the ranks from Lezama, that is going to be an issue that they are going to carry with them in any game, in any season, for the near future.
Worrying things there for Athletic, and as we know, no real sign of that being able to change unless they find something from the ranks. Lastly on Real Madrid then, it looks like Kepa is incoming. Looks like it'll be a loan just for the season, simple loan, no obligations to buy or anything like that, or options. As for Militao, it looks like the soundings from Madrid are that they're going to be okay to kind of stay with what they've got. They're not looking now to sign a centre-back, you know, as a kind of emergency. They're going to keep what they have. Of course, Alaba, Rudiger, Nacho can play there. So they have some options there. Camavinga may end up a centre-back, knowing his versatility too. But we'll see what happens there. Paco, who do you see as title favourites? Just quick, we haven't really spoken about this before this season. Do you see Barca defending the title, or can Real Madrid take it back off them? Or Atleti even?
After watching some of the pre-season games, I have seen Atletico Madrid very focused in their task. You know, in other seasons, all of the drama surrounding Cholo Simeone leaving or staying, you know, that kind of talk has been absolutely absent this summer, and that's great news for Atletico Madrid. And I believe that once, you know, the management, the board took a stance and sided with Simeone in all of the whole Joao Felix affair, which, by the way, is still, you know, going on, and I believe that we're going to see a couple of episodes in that drama still developing, because he has to leave. You know, he can't stay with Simeone at the helm, because those two are like water and oil. But I think that Atletico are very, you know, very concentrated. The signings have been pretty good. Most of their squad remains the same, and it's, if Griezmann remains in his god mode, as he showed last season, they can be perfectly title contenders. Barca's first game wasn't great, as we have already talked about. Real Madrid was, in their expected form, were in their expected form, but they have many challenges ahead of them. And I think that, I would say that Atletico can come into the fray and become a three-horse race, because Barca needed more signings and they still have those financial troubles ahead of them. And Real Madrid have lost Courtois, which is, even if Kepa comes, which he is going to do in the following days, he's not Courtois. Nobody's Courtois. In my view, he has been the most game-changing keeper in the last decade. And Kepa, as good as he is, because he's a very good goalkeeper, he's not Courtois. So if you add that to Barca's form and slow start, and maybe Atleti, very committed to their task, we might have a three-horse race for the first time in quite a few years.
Well, that would be fantastic for neutrals and for us to savour. Let's see how they get on their first game against Granada, which is on Monday, as well as Cadiz Alaves. But let's round up the rest of the weekend's games. 2-1-1 draws on Saturday. Real Sociedad 1, Girona 1. Takekubo with the early goal, but then the Ukrainian connection already working for Michel, as Sigankov linked up with Dobvik for Girona to get the draw. And then Las Palmas on their return to La Liga. Quite a few fans will have not seen Las Palmas in La Liga potentially. It's been a few years.
Yeah.
They took the lead too. Another penalty. That was Jonathan Vieira. Pio Pio, of course. The talisman for Las Palmas. Marici had an eventful game. He missed a penalty. He also hit the woodwork separately. But then they did get an equaliser from captain Antonio Raio, from a Sergi Darder corner. And Mallorca have done some good business too. Yeah. Sergi Darder, Kyle Larin. Two fun games these, weren't they?
Yeah, Mallorca have invested very smartly all of the money generated by Kang In Lee's transfer to PSG. Note, editor's note, Kang In Lee was a freebie from Valencia to Mallorca two summers ago, because that's just the way we roll. And as you said, they have signed very, very smartly this summer. And Sergi Darder has been the latest addition. And he was clutch for his team with that assist from the corner kick to Rayo to level the game. Murici missing a pen was weird, because we are very used to him being clinical in that discipline. And once again, set pieces come to the rescue for Mallorca. And that's one of the, chef's specialties by El Vasco Aguirre. Las Palmas, Jonathan Vieira scoring, it had to be him, because he's the captain for the team. He's one of their historical players, one of the best ones that has worn the shirt. Back in the day, he was playing for Valencia for a couple of seasons, and he was a quality player, but not really the working type. And he has managed to overcome that negative trait in his years back in Las Palmas, and he has become massive for his side. And as you said, Girona making good on that bet on the Ukrainian striker, on Artem Dobik. I think that is one of the best signings. I believe it was 50 million or 12 plus 3. I don't know. It was a huge sum for Dobik, and he scored in his first goal. More dominant overall, Real Sociedad. And after Silva retiring, I think that Takekubo is going to have to step up to the plate. And he did, with the opening goal for his team this season. He's going to he's bound to be the leader in the midfield for Real Sociedad.
So yeah, positive starts for all four of those teams with picking up points. Real Sociedad perhaps the unhappiest of the four. On to the Sunday's games then. I know, Paco, you didn't see all of these, but Rafa Benitez is back in La Liga. His last game, you'll remember this, his last game in La Liga was a 2-2 draw at Mestalla when Gary Neville was Valencia manager and he was at Real Madrid. So that was Rafa's last game. And this one didn't end much better. It ended a lot worse, in fact. His Celta side lost 2-0 to Osasuna. Iago Aspas continued his goal drought. Osasuna continued where they left off last season as well. Really, solid performance. Probably Gabri Vega's last game for Celta. Lots of interest from Napoli about his try and sign him. Looks like a deal will probably be reached before the end of the window. And then probably a partita d'asso on paper, Villarreal Betis, Pellegrini against Setien. really another fun game. The opening was fantastic for Betis. Ayuso Perez, after some terrific play from Isco, of course, playing for Betis, and Luis Enrique, magic play down that right-hand side. Villarreal equalised second half through Jorge Cuenca, but then a late winner, 95th minute, Willian Jose.
Yeah.
A real kick in the guts for Setien's men. I was going to ask you, Paco, which of these sides do you think are going to have the better season? Because both have flaws. I mean, Betis without Canales, but Villarreal too look quite different already.
I would say that Villarreal and Betis can be twin sides for most of the comparisons. You know, most of the time they have the same advantages and the same flaws, especially at the back. And in Villarreal's case, obviously after Pau Torres leaving for Aston Villa, they are going to have to rebuild in a number of ways. Sorloth made his debut for Real Sociedad too. Once again, you know, Moreno, Baena, Terrats, Comesaña, Parejo in the midfield. That national quality team is once again they're forming their foundations for this season. But I think that they need a bit more quality in front. Betis, they had plenty of signings this summer. Not plenty of them, but they were very eventful. As you said, Isco is the main new face, and it resembled the old reliable Isco. And this player,
good.
Whenever he really wants, you know, whenever he's motivated, you can really detect those games and separate them from the rest. You know, a motivated Isco is an absolutely amazing player. The regular Isco is one of the most frustrating individuals in the sport. Yeah, overall, I think that Betis might have the edge because they are a bit more reliable at the back. But these two teams have, you know, written all over them Europa League, Conference League contenders, because I don't think that they have the necessary tools to fight for the Champions League spots.
Yeah, fun debut from Isco and Betis. They snatched the win, probably feeling the best after Sunday's action. Getafe 2. It's been a dramatic weekend. Still two more games to play on the Monday night. As we say, Atleti take their debut against Granada, newly promoted. And Alaves, too, back in La Liga after one season out. They take on Cadiz. Paco, that's pretty much it for here. But what are your hopes and dreams for this season? Not necessarily just Valencia only, but in general in the league, what are your hopes for the season? You've said a three-horse race. We all hope for that too.
Yeah, obviously that would be fun for everyone involved, even though I expect, you know, Barca fans or Real Madrid fans wanted a landslide for them, but that, I think that is not going to happen. But I foresee, as I said, a three-horse race at the top. Plenty of fight from, you know, the usual suspects, Real Sociedad and maybe Villarreal even, I don't know, to try to snatch that fourth place. The Conference League and Europa League are going to be, you know, incredible. With, I think that eventually Athletic Club will bounce back. I think Osasuna have started very well. I also foresee a couple of surprises from teams which we don't expect to be fighting for that 8th, 7th spot. I don't know who it might be, but one of my bets was Almeria, and you know they came crashing down in the opening game, so I'm not going to make bets on that. And for my own interests, I hope that Valencia get as quickly as possible to 42 points. And the fight for the relegation zone, I think, is going to be much more you know, much more feisty than last year, because ultimately many teams were involved in the last match day, but ultimately only one spot was remaining. I think that this year we might have, you know, with 35, 36 points, quite a handful of teams, and that the fight is going to involve more or less the same number of them, 6, 7, but with the three places on the line in the last couple of match days. And that would be obviously absolute drama for all those fan bases, but plenty of fun for the rest.
Indeed, lots of jeopardy on the line. I did think as well, looking at this weekend, no big scorelines, a lot of equality amongst the teams, lots of close
matches. Summer, and also we have to point out that these three match days, which are going to take place in August, are more or less a test run for the real La Liga, which is going to kickstart in match day 4, because many movements are going to happen. I predict 20-25 transfers happening in the following 15 days. because this is going to be like a domino effect. And fortunately for us, I believe that we are not going to have the usual, you know, Mbappé drama happening in the last fortnight of the month. But other dramas are going to ensue, hopefully, at least for Barca, for example, under Palancas. Atleti trying to bring in a, you know, differential player, Real Madrid bringing in a sub for Courtois, and maybe, even though Real Madrid are saying that they are not going to sign anyone, I think that
they might.
They might, you know, they have the money, so they might bring in someone else. And whenever the money starts moving around, that's when the teams are able to, you know, write in the players into the La Liga database, first of all, and obviously make new signings in the last couple of 10 days of the market.
Mm. Well, thank you, Paco. We've had a weekend where not a single home team won the game. So let's see if that continues much longer. Thank you for your company, as always, and remind the listeners that you can subscribe to us on Substack, llonline.substack.com. It's going to be our main platform this season.
You should.
You should.
You should subscribe. That's a big difference.
Paco, you tell them. You tell them, Paco. And we'd love it if you upgraded and you'll get even more content. Extra podcasts, extra articles. We'd absolutely love it if you could subscribe for the value of less than a pint a month. We think it's good value. We hope you do too.
By the way, one second. While we were talking, the press conference for the Getafe-Barça game took place and Xavi said that the referee had come up with the handball.
No, para mí se inventa la mano. La mano es inventada. Es así.
Gabi's handball. Se ha inventado la mano. If we see the past game bans, Gaya, for something very similar, was banned 4 games. Ancelotti did something very similar and he was banned 0 games. So I'm very, you know, very curious about what is going to be the punishment on Xavi after his fiery statement and spicy words after the draw.
Yeah, and he wasn't happy. And also, he still communicated with Oscar, his brother, after he was sent off. So that could also be something that they penalised. So we'll see. But yeah, it's been a dramatic opening weekend. It normally is in La Liga. We've lost a lot of players. You know, Benzema's gone. David Silva's retired. Joaquin's gone. But we still think we've got the most competitive, best league in the world. We love it. We hope you do too. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon. Adios.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.